a series win to come back from the All-Star break is always, no matter how you slice it, a nice thing. A Whit Merrifield home run. Bo Bichette homer with some insurance late. Two straight wins for the Jays post-All-Star break with a 5-2 win today over the Diamondbacks down at Rogers Center. They are 11 games over 500, which is the best such mark they have had all season long. And on a Saturday where Chris Bassitt was a last-minute start, no less, it is always nice to see a big win down here at the Rogers Center in front of an absolutely packed crowd, a sellout crowd, on Chappie Couture Day, who also wrapped up this one with the final out of the ball game. I'm Sho Atley. Welcome to Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network, streaming live on sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. Taking your calls and texts. Phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cellular device. 590-590 is where you can text me. That is the people's text line. It is always open, and I see a couple of texts here already, which we'll get to very shortly. Just real quick, some housekeeping. If you are curious as to the winner of the Kevin Gausman splitter jersey that Ben Shulman and I gave out last Sunday, the final game before the All-Star break, it was Adam from Nova Scotia. He is our winner. The answer to the trivia question, which was, who caught for Kevin Gausman when he was ejected for the first time in his career, which came against the Boston Red Sox? The answer to that question is our very own Caleb Joseph. If you haven't seen the clip, truly, if you haven't seen the clip of Caleb reacting to the umpire after Gausman gets thrown out, I think you would be hard-pressed to decide who is more upset, Caleb or Kevin Gausman. Like, he throws the mask on the ground. He's like bumping the umpire. I'm kind of shocked Caleb, who was on Blue Jay Central today, by the way, did not also get ejected. But Caleb helping us out. He was the answer to that question. Adam from Nova Scotia got that answer correct. He was our draw winner. And you know what? I have some good news for you guys. We have more things to give away. I have a trivia question I will throw out after the Bet365 standings update in the second half of the show. I basically have a Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Gold Glove bobblehead. There's the Alec Manoah bobblehead. And we also got the Chappie Couture shirt today. So a few things for you to choose from if you are indeed a winner. We'll kind of put your name, if you get the answer correct to the trivia question, I'll put your name into a kind of a Wheel of Fortune-esque randomizer, and if you win, you can pick one of those things. I'll reach out to you, and we can sort it out. But I will throw out the trivia question in the second half of the show, so stay tuned for that. Why don't we start today with Chris Bassitt. 6 innings, 7 hits, 2 runs, both of which were earned, quote-unquote earned, 5 strikeouts, no walks, 96 pitches, 24 batters faced in those 96 pitches. I mean, he had a pretty efficient day, all things considered. Certainly very efficient 2 innings of work, to the point that when he did run into trouble, he was able to weather it. And if we're being honest, and I know it's a bang-bang play, but I err on the side that the Jake McCarthy 2-RBI single was not a single. It was an out that should have ended the inning. That is not how the umpires or the league saw it, apparently. But Bassitt, generally speaking, managed to gut it out through 6 innings of work. Ben Nicholson-Smith mentioned this on the broadcast today. He used 3 different pitches to get the first 4 strikeouts of the game, showing off that 7- or 8-pitch arsenal. He did get hit somewhat hard in that 4th inning, 4 straight hits after getting 2 groundouts, but he settled down well enough afterwards. Only the 2 earned runs and no walks over 6 innings of work. I think you take that every single day from Bassitt. So great stuff from him after he was pressed into work today. And, you know, a pivotal moment, the Jake McCarthy 2-RBI single. I see a text here from Tony. Whoever is in the media room is despicable. The guy basically stepped on Belt's foot. That was an out. I can't stand baseball. What are we doing? That was not safe. If the guy was ahead of the throw of the dig, then yes, but Belt beat him. And I tend to agree, Tony, the McCarthy 2-RBI single. I thought Belt, even though it was a bang-bang play, I thought he got his cleat down on the bag before McCarthy got his own cleat on the bag. It was a weird play, though. In the replay, Belt's foot seemed to arrive at the bag before McCarthy's foot was even close. But it's almost like Belt couldn't actually put his foot down right away. It almost seemed to hover over the bag. And I also kind of wonder if the first base ump's view was somewhat obstructed, because Bassitt also got over to the bag And like Mianez said during the game, and like, and this happens so often, right? But if that play had been called out and Arizona had challenged, it seemingly would have also been upheld because it was close. But it did seem as though, for me at least, when Belt's cleat touched the white bag, the black cleat of McCarthy had not yet touched the base. I don't know. They were milliseconds apart. It does seem like that's what replay is for. I don't blame the ump because it was so fast. It certainly is too fast for the human eye, but you think the replay cameras would catch that? Anyways, ultimately, it did not matter, but it is kind of funny that the Blue Jays won this game 5-2. There's a real argument because that McCarthy thing came with two outs. If that play had been called and out, it is a real chance the Blue Jays win this game 5-0, which looks certainly better for them and looks even better for Chris Bassitt. But hey, Chris Bassitt, I thought, looked great today. I see here another one from, oh, here's Jen in Toronto. Jen says, glad Jays won, but infield communication seemed a bit of a mess, confused about Jays attempting the late game challenge. Didn't they burn that? It certainly seemed like that was the case to me. I almost wonder if maybe they do it out of habit, perhaps, because I looked down into the dugout. We're here at the Rogers Center, and, you know, Schneider usually puts his hand out to the field, and then when he wants to keep going, he turns his hand from the stop sign, and he kind of whirls his index finger as if to say, keep going. And he did that today on the second quote-unquote challenge attempt, but as we know, they lost the challenge on the McCarthy thing. So, I don't know, maybe a slight miscommunication. Also some miscommunication, certainly, Jen, with Bo on a couple of plays, most notably perhaps, the Kevin Biggio play as well. It looked like Bo probably did have the best angle to get the ball from where he was going to catch it to first. But at the same time, the ball was also hit right to Kevin Biggio. But just the way Bo was coming in, it probably is Biggio's ball, but it doesn't really look like they called each other off there. So again, perhaps something to work on. Again, maybe not super surprising given that Biggio is not an everyday player. Maybe Merrifield and Bo don't have those issues. Maybe Santiago Espinal and Bo don't have those issues, but who knows? Ultimately, it didn't really hurt the team too much. I see another text here from Brad from Nipigon. Hey, show. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're doing well as well, Brad. Bassitt did great under short notice. Seems like exactly the kind of guy who can pitch whenever and wherever is asked of him. Marty in Wasega Beach says, I missed the start of the game. Why was Bassitt brought in to start? He was brought in to start because Kevin Gausman was scratched today late after experiencing left side discomfort. He did undergo an MRI, if you missed it, but did not seem to uncover anything super serious. So they were, I think, operating out of an abundance of caution today with Kevin Gausman, your purported ace. I think ace is a term they use far too much these days. Having said that, I don't feel bad about using the term ace to apply to Kevin Gausman. There are probably less than 10 aces, perhaps in all of Major League Baseball. Maybe there's 12 aces or something. But I don't think it's right to say that every team has an ace. Having said that, the Blue Jays have an ace, and his name is Kevin Gausman. He did not pitch today because of the left side discomfort, and we'll have to see what goes on with Gausman. But certainly, perhaps, some news. Maybe we hear today from John Schneider. Maybe we hear a little bit from the rest of the team over the next couple of days. But Gausman, at the very least, is not going to pitch tomorrow. You might think you just push that back by a little bit. Kikuchi is going to pitch tomorrow, and then you have the day off, which does allow the rotation to be reset a little bit. So I do appreciate that, and we will get to more Kevin Gausman in a little bit because I do want to talk a little bit about the rotation being rejigged. But we can save that for a little bit later. I wanted to get to the bullpen because Ben mentioned this during the broadcast, but in their wrap-up show as well, he did mention this. The Blue Jays' bullpen in the last seven games, now this was put out from Sportsnet Stats before the ball game today. This was put out around lunchtime today, right? It's around 6 p.m. Eastern right now. So the bullpen in the last seven games, they are 5-0, have an ERA of 1.05, a whip of 0.62, an opponent batting average of 128, and a K-9 ratio of 11.57. That's phenomenal. That is absolutely terrific. Now, again, I get it. I know people are always going to say, okay, well, they played the Tigers. Okay, they played the Chicago White Sox. The Diamondbacks themselves are scuffling a little bit right now. I think they lost 8 of 12 coming into today. So even though they are no longer leading the NL West, which is itself just an insane thing, given how the other teams in the NL West, especially the Dodgers and Padres, looked coming into on paper this year. That is absolutely wild that they're even in contention for the division this year. And I hope they do it, because they're a more exciting team. Who wants to see the Dodgers go to the NLCS or the World Series every year, every other year? Not me. So I wholeheartedly support the Diamondbacks when they do not play the Blue Jays. But the bullpen, last seven games, 5-0 record, an ERA of 1.05. And today, they continued playing very, very well with Nate Pearson, with Eric Swanson, and to me, shockingly, Jimmy Garcia. Like, let's start with Nate Pearson, though. I was a little bit surprised at the point in the ball game it was. It was a one-run game. Jake McCarthy and Alec Thomas are guaranteed to come to the plate. Jake McCarthy was the first guy to come to the plate. Both he and Thomas are lefties. You got Perdomo, Marte, and Carroll. Perdomo as the next guys, if other people get on base, at the top of the order. Perdomo and Marte are switch hitters. And, of course, Carroll is a lefty. I was genuinely surprised to not see Meza, because he would have seen the lefties at the very least, McCarthy and Thomas, but they go with Pearson instead. So he walks McCarthy in a one-run game. McCarthy then gets picked off, who had just gotten walked as his game-tying run. There's a strikeout and a groundout in there as well. Just 13 pitches from Nate Pearson after pitching yesterday as well in the first game of this series for Arizona. And now, because we've talked about Nate Pearson's couple of bad outings this year, but really, in all reality, apart from the two bad outings from him against the Orioles and the Rangers in back-to-back appearances, he gave up 8 runs combined against the O's and Rangers on that road trip a couple of weeks ago. 8 runs combined. He has given up 5 runs over his other 25 appearances. He has 32 and two-thirds pitched and a 1.38 ERA in those other 25 appearances. That is phenomenal. Like, he is solidly, I would think, in the circle of trust. I know some people on Twitter were saying, oh, future closer material for Nate Pearson. I don't know about future closer for Nate Pearson, I will say. Having said that, I also think he obviously is so solidly in that circle of trust. I think I said in the spring training, if Pearson throws, like, a handful of pitches with the Blue Jays this year at all, I view it as a success, given that the very, very long road he has had to endure and walk in order to come back from all the various injuries, and, you know, he had mono, and he had all these other injuries as well. Things that you can't necessarily entirely control. I mean, Nate Pearson is as trusted a reliever as there is on this ball club right now. And if that's the case, if you have a bullpen that is comprised of, let's say, Romano, and I know he was down today, it would seem, but Romano, Swanson, Pearson, Richards, and Meza as your top five guys, and Jimmy Garcia continues to, at the very least, eke his way back into form, that's a pretty good bullpen. All things considered, you want to augment it somewhat a little bit, because if you make the playoffs, most playoff teams, you would think, want to have multiple guys who can be asked for the highest leverage of situations. You don't want to always have to go to Jordan Romano to close things out. Or, I mean, I'm a big fan of not only limiting your closer to end the game, if, like, the eighth inning is coming up and the top of the order or the middle of the order is coming up, deploy your closer and then use your next highest leverage guy after that. I don't think there's any, and I know that's traditionally not what happens, but, you know, maybe we should see that a little bit more. But you can do that more if you have more guys who are capable of doing that. And I think the Blue Jays last year certainly did not. Jimmy Garcia was very, very good last year, less so this year. And like I said, he's pitching back into form, but I don't know. If for now, at least as we are 15 to 16 days away from the trade deadline, it's not bad at all. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Why don't we go to the phones? Billy in Markham has been holding. Billy, what's on your mind today?
Hey, how you doing today, Show?
Good, man. How are you? How was your All-Star break? Good.
Show, I, you know, we watch some of these teams play, and you know, I follow all the teams, and I'm looking at this Diamondbacks team, and I'm saying, how in God's name are you doing it? I mean, that division just must not be playing well, because I'd like to see this Diamondback team playing in the American League East all year.
Yeah,
honest
to
God, and I think a few teams that are supposed to be good should play in this American. I don't think people really understand how good this American League East is, and that even goes for our bullpen. I'll judge our bullpen when we go back-to-back with the Yankees, Boston, and Baltimore. Then I'll judge our bullpen. And, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to do now. Good. We want it. We need the wins. We need to get into it. But, wow. I thought this Diamondbacks team was a lot better than this, and they don't impress me one bit. But, Sho, the reason why I called in was, you know, I like something Buck said probably, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. And the reason why I like it so much is because I said it about 3 years ago, and I got laughed off the air. And I'm going to say it again. Why in God's name is George Springer batting leadoff for this team? He is our second best power guy, as far as I'm concerned. We've been looking for a number three hitter all year. Why do we not have Bichette leadoff? Why is Whit Merrifield so far down in the order? I mean, do we forget that a couple of years ago, Merrifield led the league in hits 2 years in a row? Why not have the old traditional lineup of Bo batting leadoff, Merrifield second? Merrifield's a whiz with the bat. Guys haven't seen how good he is when we have to hit and run or we have to, bunt for a base hit. Whit Merrifield is a very good hitter that should be up in the lineup. And then that way, behind Vladdy, we have, I think, as our second best hitter, and that's Springer. Because he bats leadoff his whole career, I'd get him out of there. I love when Springer comes up with runners on base. Does he come through all the time? No. But even today, I find myself, and I know Bichette hit the home run late, but I find myself yelling at Bichette saying, Bichette, could you get a better pitch to hit when there's runners on base? How many times do you hit that little dink back to the pitcher or back to the first baseman? I mean, and I know I'm nitpicking with Bo's having a good year, but I would like to see this lineup changed. I really would, and I want Merrifield moved up and Springer moved back. Simple as that. I'll listen and see what you got to say, Sho. Thanks.
Hey, Billy, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you joining me. Hope you had a good all-star break, certainly. I honestly wouldn't mind seeing Springer moved out of the leadoff spot. I find it's probably not going to happen, only because they're beyond the actual results. And I know Billy knows this, and I know everyone else knows this. I'm just going to say it because we're talking about this. But ultimately, I do think a lot of the stature, quote-unquote, aspect of Springer having batted in the leadoff spot is effectively his entire career. I think the only couple of years maybe he did not bat leadoff was when he was a rookie and he was still, you know, earning the respect that comes with playing for the Houston Astros at that time specifically. But he has bat leadoff more or less his entire career. So I think it would take something really monumental to move him out of the leadoff spot. Having said that, Bo batting leadoff, which you've seen a couple times this year, or Merrifield batting leadoff, which we saw in the last couple of games. I think we saw it before the last couple of games as well, but definitely in those last two games before the All-Star break when Springer was put on the paternity list. And congratulations to the Springers as well. But if that's the case, they're the only two other candidates you can bat leadoff, essentially. There was another text, actually. Where is it? Here it is. Nick from Toronto, assuming guys are hitting the way we expect them to on this team, where would be a good spot for Belt? He walks a lot and has a fairly high OPS considering his batting average. Thank you. And I think it's a good point because I do kind of wonder if shifting around, and again, like Billy said, I think we're nitpicking after the Blue Jays win a 5-2 game to go 11 games above 500. You are absolutely doing that. But I mean, if you're trying to find the optimal batting order, I wouldn't mind seeing the top four maybe shift around. Obviously, it would somewhat depend on who is pitching on the mound, because let's say you did move Belt to, for Nick's question, let's say you bat Belt fifth. Let's say Belt's batting five, and it's some combination of Springer, Bo, Chapman, Vladdy in your top four. Let's say that is some combination of that, or maybe you move some of the one, like maybe Chapman just bats fifth and Belt bats sixth and Merrifield's in your top five in some way, shape, or form. Maybe Merrifield bats leadoff and Springer bats second, or Springer bats third and Bo bats second. Or there's a lot of combinations you can do, as Billy was mentioning. Let's say you do that. The only issue I find is that this team clearly wants to have some left-handed bats in there. And Belt is probably the guy, because who else are you going to bat who's lefty? Certainly not. It's not going to be like Nathan Lucas. It's not going to be Kevin Kiermaier, who is basically locked into the ninth spot when he does play, and he probably plays like, what, four games in a 7-day week, or maybe around there. Depends on, I suppose, the matchup. But they are, I think, wisely being careful with with Kevin Kiermaier's usage at his age, given the various injuries he's had over his career. But you're not batting Kiermaier higher. Varshow still seems to be scuffling a teensy bit offensively, even if he is obviously still playing very well defensively, which you expect from him. But offensively, I know some people compare Dalton Varshow to like Bradley Zimmer or Jackie Bradley Jr. in terms of his batting average, which is true. I mean, he's obviously not those players. And there's still, what, four more years of control left on Dalton Varsho's deal. So there's still a lot of time for him to get better, and I have no doubt he will. But right now he is not playing well offensively, so he is not going to be the answer. So if you don't want to have a parade of righties in the top five or six, you kind of have to have Belt a little higher, right? So I think that is, to a certain extent, why it is the way it is. But there probably is a case, let's put it that way. There probably is a case for the batting order to be slightly shaken up. It's not you move Springer down to six or something, because he is not playing poorly by any means. And in fact, he's the one who opened the scoring today with the bases loaded, right? And he knocked that ball, laced it right over the glove of Rivera, right down the left field line, or just past the left field, just next to the left field line. So there, maybe if you could get Witt, Bo, Springer, Vladdy, or Witt, Bo, Vladdy, Springer, and I see Chuck from Oshawa says, I agree, Witt, Bo, Vlad, Springer, in my opinion. I do think that is probably something I would work with, as long as Whit Merrifield's hot. I mean, the guy's had, what, four home runs in the last six games for Whit Merrifield? That might not continue, but at the same time, he's been playing very, very well. And, you know, the Merrifield conversation, as long as we're having it, it goes back to one sort of text and calls we've had before, in as far as what do you do with a 34-year-old, he'll be 35 in January, so before he'll be 35 essentially before the 2024 season starts. What do you do with him when it's a mutual option worth $18 million? Like, if Witt opts in, do you also opt in for the 1 year? And if Witt opts in and you opt out, I believe he gets paid $500K, which I know to like a professional sports franchise is basically pocket change. But still, I'm sure they consider it to a certain degree. But if Witt opts in, do you opt in? Does Merrifield opt out and see what kind of money he gets on the open market at age 35 in what might probably be the last major payday of his entire career? If he does opt out and test the open market, do the Blue Jays pay him? Should the Blue Jays pay him? I personally like the idea of keeping Whit Merrifield around for a few more years, especially if you think he might rub off on some of the younger guys, especially if you think the production is sustainable at age 35, which for a lot of guys it is, but could he rub off on some of the younger guys in the organization? And I'm not talking about Kevin Biggio or Santiago Espinal. I'm more talking about Aurelvis Martinez or Addison Barger. And Aurelvis Martinez, I mean, if all goes well, could very well be, if Matt Chapman is on a different team next year, because he is certainly going to at the very least test a free agent market. Maybe the Blue Jays pay him. I feel like it is perhaps unlikely, because he is one of the better third basemen, if not the best third baseman available on the market this coming offseason. And as a Scott Boras client, he is almost certainly going to test free agency anyways. So if Matt Chapman is gone, Aurelvis Martinez, if all goes well for him, and he has played very, very well this year, certainly compared to 2022, he's probably your starting third baseman. Could you put someone else at second base? I mean, do you want to give Davis Schneider a chance? He has been playing very, very well. Ben Shulman and I talked about this before, but Schneider is not on the 40-man, so to have Davis Schneider be added, there has to be some roster churn. If the Blue Jays, you know, trade for a player, there'd also be a roster churn as well. We're approaching the trade deadline. Maybe there's a chance to add a Davis Schneider in place of, like, a Nathan Lucas if that works out, but the Whit Merrifield situation, I find, I just find so, so, so fascinating. Let's take a very quick break. And when we come back, I do want to talk a little bit about Kevin Gausman, who obviously did not pitch today, and what the ripple effect might be going forward, at the very least, towards this West Coast road trip. You have the Padres coming to town starting on Tuesday. They'll be here at the Rogers Center. And, I mean, despite what their record says, they're still a very dangerous ball club, because any one of those guys, as we saw with, I think it was Trent Grisham earlier today, can smoke home runs. So they're a very dangerous ball club. And then they go west to Seattle and to Los Angeles, take on the Mariners and Dodgers respectively. What does Gausman's absence mean for that road trip? I do want to have a conversation about that. We'll do the trivia question to give away some fun Blue Jays themed merch. So stay tuned for that. And, of course, we'll also do the Bet365 standings watch and take a look around the rest of the American League East. Still some time to give me a phone call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. We'll go back to the phone lines and go back to the people's text line, 590-590, name and location. All that to come on the other side of the break. You're listening to Jay's Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, but I've been on teams that are talked about a little bit last year. I like when we're not talked about. It's a lot funner.
And that is Chris Bassett, who is discussing the bullpen. He was asked if he thought the bullpen was underrated. His answer was, I like when we're not talked about. The funny thing is, the better you play, the more you probably will be talked about, funnily enough. But hey, the Blue Jays are certainly not complaining after they take the series from the Arizona Diamondbacks, a 5-2 win today. They take the series after the All-Star break tomorrow. The Diamondbacks will, I guess, try to salvage the series. Yusei Kikuchi will head to the mound for the Blue Jays as they look for a series sweep post All-Star break, the unofficial second half of the season. Welcome back to Jay's Talk. Show Ali with you for about 15 more minutes. Still some time to give me a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cellular device. 590-590 is the people's text line, name and location. It is always open. I'll go back to the phones, back to the text line in a sec, but I did promise we'd give away more stuff. So why don't we give away our trivia question right now? So we have a couple things for you to pick from. You can pick from a Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Gold Glove bobblehead. There's an Alec Manoa bobblehead as well. We have the Chappie Couture shirt from today. There is technically also that straw hat from Canada Day, but let me tell you, that thing is massive. It is a is it not, Tom? It is a ginormous hat. It's huge. I'm not sure we're shipping that to you. So you can pick from the bobbleheads or the shirts because they fit very comfortably into these little bubble mailer things or boxes or whatever, right? But why don't we get to the trivia question? Matt Chapman, I feel like this is apropos because it was Chappie Couture Day. Matt Chapman crushed his first career home run for Oakland on July 15th, 2017. He actually hit two home runs in that game, funnily enough, and they both came off the man who would go on to win the American League Cy Young Award that same year, 2017. Who was that pitcher? Text me his name at 590-590 and leave your name and location. You will be entered into a draw to win one of the items we mentioned earlier, the shirt and either the bobbleheads. You can pick one of those. So I will pick the winner off air with our Wheel of Fortune-esque randomizer to give a chance to the podcast listeners to enter as well. But I'll pick those guys, whoever the winner is, perhaps tomorrow afternoon. And we'll get that out to you. You can communicate with me, pick whatever prize you want. But again, the trivia question: Matt Chapman crushing two home runs on July 15th, 2017, both off the same guy. Who was that pitcher? So just text me his name and your name and location, to 590-590, and you'll be entered into a draw to win. All right, time for the Major League Standings Watch, presented by Bet365. With Bet365, you can watch thousands of live games, and you can build your own bet, and you can even make a bet while the game is still being played. 19+, play responsibly, Ontario only. So the Rays were in action early today because they got rained out yesterday against the Royals. They did win game one of their doubleheader today. I believe the final score was 6-1. Jose Siri just continues to dominate. He is no doubt already in a career high of home runs, but he's been playing very, very well. He had two home runs in that 6-1 Rays win. The Boston Red Sox got crushed today by the Chicago Cubs. Cody Bellinger hit a grand slam. And in that same game, so Boston trailed 6-0 early, three walks, two defensive misplays, one hit by pitch, and then the Bellinger grand slam, all coming off of James Paxton. Unfortunately, I wished it was literally any other pitcher because, of course, Paxton is Canada's own, a native son of Canada, and unfortunately, I dislike when he pitches poorly unless it's against the Blue Jays, all coming against him in the third inning. He actually had 30 innings across five starts before the All-Star break, in which he allowed a combined six runs, and today he allowed six earned runs in the third inning alone. But that game is final. It's a 10-4 Cubs win over the Red Sox. A game two for the Rays goes at about 40 minutes, and the let's see here, the Yankees, that's right, are taking on the Rockies in about an hour and a half. Clark Schmidt, Connor Siebold will go in that one. So with all that being said, here's the standings watch for the American League East as of right now. The Tampa Bay Rays, with their win, are 59-35. The Baltimore Orioles are going to take on the Miami Marlins in about 40 minutes. So prior to their game, they are 55-35. The Blue Jays, with their win, are 52-41. Like I said, 11 games over 500. The Yankees, with ahead of their game, they did lose last night. They are 49-43. And with the loss, the Boston Red Sox are at the rear of the division. They are 49-44. So the Yankees are just a half game in front of the Red Sox for the fourth place spot in the American League East. And as we take a look at the wild card race, the division leaders still Rays, Rangers, and Twins. Wild card teams right now still Orioles, Blue Jays, and Astros. Blue Jays are a game up on the Houston Astros. Astros are 51-41. Blue Jays are 52-41. So that's a quick check of our Major League Standings Watch, brought to you by Bet365. All right, why don't we talk a little bit about Kevin Gausman? Because I got some texts about, what's the deal with Kevin Gausman? What's going on with Kevin Gausman today? So like I said, he suffered the left side discomfort, which was something he felt before the All-Star break. Probably, I would think, something that factored into his non-participation at the All-Star game in Seattle. Also, probably a nagging injury that the Jays hoped would clear up by now. Obviously, did not. Obviously, he did not pitch today. I do wonder about when we will see Gausman going forward. If you map out the starts, and it's kind of hard to do because you never really know what the Blue Jays are going to do, but if you try and map out these starts, here's how it looks, right? Y'all get the day off on Monday, including me, which is nice. Padres are here at the Dome Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, in Seattle Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then they go to L.A. They take on the Dodgers the following Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. There's a day off on Thursday, July 27th. So let's say, for the sake of this conversation, they do not IL stint Gausman retroactive to a certain date, because they always can, and most teams do that, right? But and keep in mind, it's the 15-day IL for pitchers as opposed to the 10-day for position players. Let's say Gausman stays off the IL. In theory, because of that off day, you can still start Manoah on Tuesday and then actually go to Berríos and Bassett. Like, you could, in theory, see Gausman in the Padres series. But if you wanted to, you can start Manoah on Tuesday, Berríos and Bassett Wednesday and Thursday. You would have otherwise gone with their normal days of rest rotation starts. So at the earliest, maybe you see Gausman on Friday and you give Kikuchi an extra day of rest. Or Kikuchi starts that series in Seattle against his former team. Maybe he gets a nice ovation. That would be kind of fun. And Gausman buffers the rotation with the start on Saturday. Now, if Gausman goes, so today is Saturday. So if Gausman goes a week today, Saturday, July 22nd, that would be against the Mariners in Seattle. Then he'll have last pitched on Saturday, July 8th. Of course, in which the Jays got no hit by the Tigers. We don't have to relitigate that, please, and thank you. But that will mean it will have been two full exact weeks since Gausman last took the mound. I would think that is probably enough rest for something the team says is not a huge concern, but we'll see if there are any developments from the team this weekend, maybe later tonight. I know John Schneider spoke. We'll play that audio in 2 seconds here. But, I mean, if he does go to the IL for 15 days, and it is retroactive to a certain date, maybe he would still be able to come back by next Saturday anyways, depending on that retroactive date. But we will have to see. I do think 2 weeks, like, the team is so confident that it's not something super serious, I feel as though he probably will pitch. So why don't we actually hear the audio from from John Schneider, who gives a bit of an update on Kevin Gausman. So here's Schneider with the media.
With Gausy, it's still kind of day-to-day, you know, feeling better today than he did yesterday. And, you know, you get through tomorrow with Yusei on the mound and then the off day Monday and see where we can, you know, put Kevin into the rotation. So much like Jordy, it's kind of a day-to-day thing. See how he comes in tomorrow, see how he's feeling, and kind of go from there.
See, that doesn't sound like a guy who is ready to put Gausman on the IL. Like, it really, I know day-to-day is such like a nebulous term in sports, like day-to-day with a high ankle sprain or something in football, or day-to-day with a lower body injury, whatever that means, in hockey or whatever, right? Like, the injury reports in basically every sport are so mysterious because they could literally mean anything. But it really does sound like Kevin Gausman is actually day-to-day. It does feel like to me, I'm not sure you really want to mess with the starting rotation. Berríos is pitching well. Bassett pitched pretty well. Also, maybe tomorrow, you hope you get at least 5 innings out of Yusei Kikuchi. It wasn't that long ago, right here at the Rogers Center. You got 7 innings out of Kikuchi, so you're hoping you get the good Kikuchi tomorrow and not the maybe less of command Kikuchi tomorrow as well. But I've said this already a lot this year. If you get, let's say, 5 innings and 2 earned runs or 3 earned runs or less from Kikuchi, even if it may not be a quality start, I think you take that most of the time. But if that's what you get from Kikuchi tomorrow, you can still, on after the day off on Monday, still go Manoah, Berríos, Bassett, Kikuchi again for the next 4 games and see Gausman with 2 full weeks of rest, which you would think, if you're not ready to put the guy on the IL, probably will make you feel a little bit better. It does make you wonder what they will aim for with the rotation. Right now, we've basically gone back to a temporary, quote-unquote, 4-man rotation, and you hope that Manoah carries over a decent start. Again, I know they're the Tigers, but you hope he carries over some things, maybe even if it's just the processes that he had done for himself. We saw him drawing the lines in the bullpen and kind of making the motions with his arms to the front and off to the sides to kind of tell himself in game where he should be falling away from the mound to continue that process. But you hope he continues all of those things to another start against the Padres. But with no Gausman, you're somewhat shorthanded, but can manage thanks to the day off on Monday. But how does Ryu factor into this, right? Like, when Ryu returns, do the Jays move to a 6-man rotation? Do they trade him? A lot probably does hinge on the play of Manoah. But a part of me feels the best usage of Ryu, and he is pitching, I believe, right now in Buffalo. It's another rehab start for him. The best usage for Ryu is simply to put him into the 6-man rotation. I mean, like, what if another guy gets injured? What if someone else falters, right? You're best buffered by having another starter, and Ryu, you would think, is certainly better than literally any other starter in the minors. Like, do you really want to tax the bullpen that's finally gotten to a good place more by going back to a Bowden Francis, Trevor Richards combo? And they're good. Don't get me wrong. They're good. But do you really want to go back to that, knowing that the bullpen is in a good place right now? Maybe Francis is good enough to get you 4 or 5 innings himself. Maybe he's stretched out a little bit more. It's definitely possible. I'm not sure if it's super likely. Ryu is still a better option, right? I do wonder if he looks good right away. Maybe there's a trade out there. Maybe there's a trade market out there for him. I mean, like, you know who could use a pitcher right now and already kind of intimately familiar with Ryu? The Dodgers. Like, they have a whole host of guys on the pitching staff either playing poorly or are straight up injured. I'm not sure they or anyone else are going to necessarily hinge any plan on Ryu, but I do wonder if he might not be a trade candidate. But, I mean, ultimately, no team should be pinning hopes on Ryu because he's 36 years old. He's had a lot of mileage on an arm that has now seen Tommy John surgery as well. Anything you get from him is a positive. I have a lot of time for him, actually. Super nice guy. I sincerely hope he pitches well. But I just don't think you can count on it, if that makes sense. Like I said, Bison start today. BNS had said earlier that it was around 65 pitches is what's been allotted to Ryu. The Jays are looking to get him to 85 pitches, which might take another, let's say, 2 minor league starts. So if that's the case, he would most likely return, certainly after Gausman does. I'm thinking maybe 10, 11 days. But he could very well return in that 3-game set against, of all teams, the Dodgers, his former team on the West Coast, which honestly would be really cool. It's kind of surprising for me, and I think a lot of you guys feel the same way. It's genuinely surprising to me that, given the Tommy John surgery, we are closer to seeing Hyunjin Ryu, and things seem to be going very much on track for him. We'll have to see how things go in Buffalo today, but ultimately, you know what? Ryu, I thought he would maybe pitch until September, and now here we are, and he might very well pitch before the beginning of August, which is absolutely phenomenal. I hope he pitches very well down in Buffalo, because I would love to be continuing to discuss Ryu on Jays Talk in the not-too-distant future. But thank you for listening to me and to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Crown Rust Protection. Now that summer has arrived, it's road trip season. Make sure your vehicle is protected from rust with Crown. Visit Crown.com for a special summer offer today. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection. Don't forget, we're doing that trivia question again. Matt Chapman hitting two home runs on July 15th, 2017, both coming off of the same guy who will go on to win the American League Cy Young in 2017. Who is that pitcher? Text his name to 590-590. We'll enter you into a draw to win some Blue Jays merch. That does it for here on Jays Talk. Ben Wagner, Ben Nicholson-Smith, Tom Young, Andrew Adams, Nick Blackmore. I'm Shoaib Ali. Tomorrow, we'll look for a series sweep. I'll talk to you then.